There's a famous story of a man who came to Tzvas. He was a Murano or semi-Murano, or bottom line is he left Portugal or Spain at the skin of his teeth, and they made it to Tzvas, and they sit there and they come to a shiur. They never had the opportunity to learn. And they hear the rabbi is saying, he's talking about the mitzvah of lechem upon him, the 12 showbreads, and he says, ah, the lechem upon him, he says, he talks about all the inyonim, how it's mashpia parnasa, the klal Yisrael. And then he finishes off by saying, the lechem upon him, he says, that you don't know the hashruach, the nachas ruach, the simcha and shemayim from the lechem upon him. Since the churban of bias, we don't have it. So this guy is sitting there and he's saying, well, why can't, if Hashem wants these breads so much, why can't anyone just bake them? You know what I mean? What does that, so he comes home, he tells the rabbi, said, the Rav said that since Churban Abayis, there's such Sara Shemayim that there's no lechem upon it. So his wife goes and says, well, that's rude. Why doesn't anyone do it? So she bakes 12 challahs and he takes it. And the problem is, where does he take it to? So he comes to the shul. You know, he opens up the, pushes the pereches over to the side. And he opens up the Aron HaKodesh. And he says, Hashem, I want you to feel so bad. Here's the 12 challahs. And he puts them in. And he says a tefillah, and he closes the pereches and closes the Aron HaKodesh. And he turns around and backs off. Backs away. And a few minutes later, the Shamus comes around. And he says, no one ever tips me. No one ever leaves me a tip. And he, something smells real nice in the Aron HaKodesh. He goes, what's that? Pulls open the pereches, opens up the door. He says, finally! Someone appreciates me. Yeah. And he takes these 12 challahs and he puts them into a bag and takes them home and says to his wife, guess what? Meanwhile, this guy is wondering, the guy who put the challahs there, what's going to be Shabbos morning when they open up the Aron HaKodesh? Like, what's he going to find? And he opens up the Aron HaKodesh and he gasps. He does a mug and dove it on the, you know, like, he goes, oh, wow. Hashem took it! He took the lechem upon him and he's like excited. So him and his wife, they mamish dance the whole night. They finally got this. They got Hashem to be happy again. And they repeat this every week until it comes to like Shabbos HaGadol. And this same Rav that gave the shir, or Magad Shir, wherever he was, is sitting in the basement. She's preparing the Shabbos HaGadol Rosh. And he sees that this guy comes in with 12 challahs. Shabbos HaGadol, and this man that you're trying to clean the place for chometz. What are you coming in with 12 challahs for? All right, sure. The Shabbos will be by the chometz, he'll find it. Then he sees him opening the pereches, and he puts it in. He goes, Hashem, this is the lechem upon him. He goes, are you out of your mind? There's no lechem upon him today. What are you? Get that out of the Aron HaKodesh. And he says, no, but Hashem takes it every week. And all of a sudden the Shamus comes in and says, where are my challahs? He goes, Hashem, this, he's not Hashem. He's the Shamus. Don't you ever put challahs in the Aron HaKodesh again. He gives him a whole sack. And of course the guy falls 1,000 feet below the earth. He's in such pain, his head droops down. And he sits down, you know, again to finish his shir. And then the shliach comes from the Arizal and tells him, Tzavel Beisecha, write your will, because you should know that since the Churban Abayis, they never had such a nachas ruach in Shemayim as when he put the lechem upon him there. And he wanted to stop him. But why do you have to yell at him? What do you have to embarrass him for? So the whole machlok is, if he did do tshuva, was able to do tshuva at that point or not, or he did, or whatever the case may be. So here's the shaila. So maybe it's kedai we should all be amaratzim, and this way we can put chalas into Aron HaKodeshes, or I don't know, maybe we can put a carbon tithe into the bima or something, or I don't know, you know. And then because we don't know any better, Hashem will accept it. How does that work? So the answer is no. Of course, we have an obligation to learn and to know the havim l'shmaya l'umay d'lam. But if you're worried about the chelek atmimus of being enough of an ama oretz that Hashem should accept what we're doing and what we think is right, don't worry. There's enough ama oretz left in us, even after we learn that the plenty of things that we think we're doing right, and Hashem says it's okay. I know you mean well. I'll accept it. So this always becomes an issue. You have to be careful how you shoot someone down, even if he's doing the wrong thing. Now, there were certain gedolim that you knew they were sharp. And that was it. If you walked in, it's like walking into a shooting range. You can't walk into a shooting range and say, oh, you know, or a batting cage and say, I got hit on the head of a bat. What are you walking into the cage for? You know, this is sharp. Right? Rabbi Aaron was Moisen Nefesh himself for his Talmidim. The war risked his life. But during Shir, it was tough. You, Ryan Kaku, yeah. Zechut Sadi Bracha. But if you asked, you know, only certain people were allowed to ask the Kasha. Allowed to ask during Shir because he ripped you apart. But you knew you were going to the Shiva Shir. You either be quiet or ask him privately afterwards. So they say a Bacha, like, all of a sudden lost himself. He asked him, he asked Rashiva Shaila, he goes, what did I do? He picked himself up and ran out. And he said, bring him back. And then schlepped him back. What kind of Shaila was that? But again, that was both Midas Adin and Midas Arachmim all mixed together in a shiluv that creates Torah. So the Ragachava was known to be extremely sharp. And what's interesting about the Ragachava is if a simple person came to him, he was very kind to him. But if a guy came to him and introduced himself as a Rosh Hashiva, he took him apart piece by piece, limb by limb. Roshayna Yid. So the man once came, and he also didn't like so much the Lamdisha. He wasn't so much along those lines. Somebody came to him and asked him one of those chakiris. So he said to him, I also have a chakiri. He said, what's your chakiri? He says, my chakira is when the balagola, when the wagon driver hits the horse with the whip. Why is the horse running quicker? Is the horse running quicker because the whip hits him? Or is the horse running quicker because he's scared of the next whip? So the man said, it's like Rashiva said, like, how should I know? He said, I'm not a Rashiva, wherever Shani is, wherever he goes. He said, how should I know? He said, I'm not a wagon driver. He said, the Ragachava told him, I'm not asking you as a wagon driver. I'm asking you as a horse what your opinion is based on your question that you said. So they said, Rabbi Aaron came to the Ragachava, and he wasn't going to take any chances. He asked him, what do you do? He says, I'm a simple balabas. And then he spoke to him in learning, back and forth and back and forth, because he knew that the Ragachava would take it easy on him if he's a simple balabas. And then the Ragachava told him, no, he said, for a balabas nishlech, he told him, not that, you know, for where they are. So they brought the Ragachava once, one of the svarim, one of the famous form of the big ga'onim in Poland, a real Polish Torah, Pilpul. I would say the name of the sefer, but it was a... So he went through the whole sefer in 2 seconds, as he did. And then he said to him, they said, did you see any chiddush in the sefer? He said, yeah, the very first page. It said, printed in Sosnovtsa. I never knew Sosnovtsa has a printing press. He says, that's the chiddush that he saw in the sefer. That's where he was. He was very sharp. But on the other hand, he had a person came to him with a shaila of an aguna or something along those lines. The Ragachava said that if you give him any 3 hours, he can speak an entire language. With dictionary, give him a bilingual dictionary, in 3 hours he'll speak the language fluently. So they asked him why he only speaks Yiddish then. So he said he never had 3 hours. Never had an extra 3 hours. Rav Meir Simcha was the Ragachava was the Chassidish Rav, and Rav Meir Simcha was the Litvish Rav in town. Rav Meir Simcha used to say, my mazel, you know, I get the Chassidish Rav has to be the Ragachava against me. He said he was toilet that when once by a Shabbos Agadol Rasha, when he was 13 years old, he asked the Rav a Shaila, and the Rav had to step down because he didn't have an answer. So he said, as an oynish for that, they made me Rav in the same town with the Ragachav. That's what Hashgacha Prat said. So this story I heard from a Yid, that the two of them were together once. They made a rule in Minsk. They were in Dvinsk, I think. I'm sorry, Dvinsk. They made a takana that the two of them should not come together to a simcha. They should make up the alternate because if the two came to a simcha, it was the end of the simcha. Everyone just crowded around them. So he said the two of them met each other. They were like fencing, dueling face on. And first they started arguing and learning, and they started talking faster and faster. And it got to a certain point where they were just shooting Mayer Mekaymas at each other. They weren't even bothering to say what the kasha was, but the other one figured out what the kasha was. And the Mesh Chachma would say, yeah, Yishami Chagiga, you know, Pais Locha Dalit. The Raga would say, yeah, the Ranab Sochem, Laman. That's what they were talking back and forth. Like, the Ranab, the Kashmir, yeah. And they were like, watching this ping pong game, shooting back and forth. No one knew what they're talking about. Each one knew what the Kasha, what Teretz was. And finally, at one point, Rameh Simcha said, Toysis Menaches, Tav Chav. The Raga Shah was quiet. Got up and walked out. Rameh Simcha won the duel. So Rameh Simcha came at the shul the next morning. He said, you think it was over? He said, 3:30 in the morning, I heard this pounding at the door. I was scared. I thought, who knows what happened? As I watched Negelwasser, I ran downstairs. I opened up the door, and there was the Ragachava, and he said, Tosefta Megillah! That was Barry Gimel, ha! You know. So they said they made a takana afterwards that the two shouldn't be in the same place. But again, they were you know, Giboyre Taira. They were Arze Levana, and they were in a different world. How do we view ourselves when you hear these stories that Amoritz... did something, and the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, was extremely sharp. He said, I heard from a Chashev Yid, he had a position in the Gedolei Yisrael, and he said the Beis Yisrael ripped out every ounce of gaiva that was in my heart. I won't use his real name, but let's just say his name is the Rebbe Avram, okay? So he said he came to the Beis Yisrael, he said, I'm a Rav Avram from the Aguda. That was the wrong thing to say to him. So the Beis Yisrael said, he opened up the window and he goes, you heard who's here, Rav Avram from the Aguda. Everyone, come on in. He opened up the door to him and said, you heard who's here, Rav Avram from the Aguda. Hey, come. You up there, you heard who's here. So I said, that was it. He said, he cured my gaiva for the rest of my life. He said, no more. Doesn't worry about it. But the truth is, so it says, when they say somebody once came to the Kotzker Rebbe, that was the Beis Yisrael, that was Kotz, that was sharp. He said, Rebbe, I'm suffering from gaiva, can you cure me? Kotzker said, yeah. He said, stick around. He said, stay here where people come to me. So a man came into the Kotzker Rebbe, he said he has difficulty Yerushalmi, that he's trying to reconcile with a Toysvus in Chulin, and Rogachov returns to him and says, what do you say? He goes, I don't know, I never really had that. I know some Mishnayos. He goes, okay. Next guy, this big businessman comes in. He says, I don't know, should I buy that apartment building in downtown Denver or not, you know? And on the other side of the Atlantic, and the Kotzker says, yeah, what do you say? He goes, I know from chickens, you know? I don't know from apartment buildings, you know? And he says, and the next guy comes in and says, you know, I'm marrying off a daughter, can you help me? And the Kotzker turns to him. He says, can you help him? Because I don't have a red cent to my name. So anyway, this goes on the whole night. Finally, when it's finished, so he goes, what's with my gaiva? When are you going to help me? So the Kotzker says to him, he says, what we just established, he says, you're an Amoretz. You don't have a red cent to your name. You're a Batlin. Like, what exactly is your problem? What are you about gaiva about? I know that story is true or not, but so it goes. The Amoses, on the other hand, you have countless stories that go the other way. Right? I heard this on the Talmud Rebbe, who said he was present there, I think. That there was this Bacher in Yerushalayim. He wasn't, shall we say, the brightest bulb in the box, but he was very sincere, and learning wasn't going for him. So he knew one daf in Eilim Tzias, and he chazered this daf from morning to night. From morning to night, he just chazered it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And he was very proud of himself. When it came time for Shiduchim, so he comes to the Shadchan. Shadchan looks at him, and with a typical bedside manner, you know, Shadchan is Rosh Yitev, Sheker, Dover, Kesef, Nikach, and with a typical bedside manner, of course, not the Shadchanim, we know. We're talking about the other ones here. Anyway, you say about Shadchanim, I don't mean you, of course not. Anyway, so the Shadchan says, what do you know? So he says, he knows a daf in Eli Metzias. The Shadchan starts laughing so hard, he falls off his seat. He says, my fifth grader knows that. And the kid was like smashed. Took all the ear out of the balloon. He was like tzabrach, and he was sishmeted, a shtick-shticker. He was felt like a piece of I don't know what. And Imamish was almost suicidal. And so the Talmud Rebbe says he took him to the stipler. And the stipler started to yell at him. He said, Yichzog dir tzu. He said, I promise you that when you learn Eli Metzias, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in my Sefer and the Kilos Yaakov. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in the Shiurim that are taking place in Panovich. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bechol Panal Yadalei, and all the heavenly angels in the academy are listening only to you saying Eli Metzias. And this guy says to the stipler, like I told you, he says, how do you know? And he says, the stipler grabbed him by his lapels and he yelled, Kacha! That's the way it is. That's where it goes. Mentioned it by the shir beforehand. Somebody came to the Chafetz Chaim, Bacher came to the Chafetz Chaim, and he said to him, you know, I spent a whole month and all I was able to figure out was a single blot of Gemara. So the Chafetz Chaim said, wow, in 1 month, 100 blot. He says, no, Rebbe, one blot. Take off the two zeros afterwards. It's 1.00, not 1.00 point. And the Chafetz Chaim said again, 100 blot in 1 month. He goes, Rabbi, no, one blot. And after the third time, the Chafetz Chaim says, you think I don't hear you? He says, it says, Meya Pamim Bitzar, Pam Achas Shaloi Bitzar is Meya Pamim Bitzar. That a person that learns Torah when it's difficult to learn, it's Baruch Hu considers if you learned 100 times the amount. So he says, you said it took you a whole month to learn a blot? It's 100 times the amount. Says, look at the chashivas where it is. So again, how do we understand this? And sometimes you have the same gedolim. You have some people they lift it, and some people they put them in their place. Somebody once came to the Satmar Rebbe, Zechut Sadik Levrach, and said he wrote a sefer, we fa'enfit all the Rebbe Kiva Egas Tzarchins. Rabbi Kiveger had a tzarachian. He wrote a sefer and he answered the Rabbi Kiveger's kasha. So the Satmar Rebbe looked at him and said, "You answered all of Rabbi Kiveger's kashas." He says, "Except for one, he couldn't answer." So the Rebbe said, "I think that's the one kasha you understood." He said, "The other kashas you probably didn't get. That's why you answered them." He says, "The answer is that a person has to have two pockets within him. You have to know where you are in this world. When you get into an elevator, there's an up button and there's a down button. That you have to know in your life when you need the racious dover of a yigba libay bedarkei Hashem. And now chashiv your Torah and mitzvahs. This is the Baal Shem Tov said, dam alamala mocha. If we would only know when we learn a blat gemara, if we would only know when we say a pasuk in Chumash, we would know when you say a pasuk tilim, if you would know what malachim are created in Shemai, if we would realize it, the marshal, the Chabetz Chaim says that imagine someone would go to the equivalent, I don't know if he uses mamish this marshal, but two kids playing around in the basement of the Empire State Building, you know, and they're playing around with the switches, and all 100 floors light up, and the light shoots across all of Manhattan, they close it, light again. What are you doing? The whole city is, you know, millions of people are looking. We would realize what one Omen Yehei Shmei Rabbi is, what it does for us. We know what buttons we were printing. I remember once, I had to do some work for someone. Someone sat me down next to a computer, and I'm about as big as Amma Oretz as that, you know, that guy that was driving the horses. I was the horse in the Rogachev's muscle. And I said, "Well, how do you print?" He said, "You press Control P and it comes out of the printer." So I press Control P and nothing's coming out. I'm looking, I don't even know where the printer is, you know. So I press it again, nothing's coming out. I press it again, nothing's coming out. I didn't know that it prints upstairs. And all of a sudden the secretary comes running down, "Would you stop it? She says I'm knee high in papers already." You know, I don't know, the papers are shooting out upstairs and I'm pressing the buttons down. It says, if we would know how chashuv the blat gemara is down here and what we're doing down here when it's happening up there. The Torah says a person has to know. He has to know when it's racious dover v'yigva liba v'darki Hashem, that you have to lift yourself, and when you think you're too high, when you have to put yourself down, when you have to put yourself into perspective. And the emes is that, relatively speaking, we're all amaratzim. Rav Eisgol was the Shaiv, had a yisoid. He never left the sugya until he didn't understand it. Someone says, "I do that to start with. I don't bother learning. I don't understand." That's not what he meant. He meant he had to reach a certain level of amkus. So the more you focus, the more you'll have a kasha, the more you fare for it. He says he never left with the teretz. Left with the kasha. I'll get back to it. As an understanding that he has to get to it. So we're all amaratzim in a certain on a certain level. As good as we are. And Mimela, if you're worried about having the Tmimus and the Shemayim, they should have the Simcha, the Rav Palm, Zechan Lebrach. I heard it from him multiple times that he would say that Rav Chaim Vital asked the Arizal, "How Chashiv is our Blat Gemara down here in Shemayim, our davening?" And he said, "As Chashiv as it was during the days of Tanom and Amiroim." So he said, "Are we like Tanom and Amiroim?" He says, "Definitely not. But as Chashiv as the Torah was for Tanom and Amiroim in their times, that's how Chashiv it is for us down here." And the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, "You're in this world and you're learning Torah? Whoa. Wow. You are." The Marsham, the Brzhana Rav, writes the story himself. He has a sefer al Torah called, my father used to share it with me all the time. He has a sefer al Torah called Chelis Mardechai. And he writes that he was a young man. He was extremely sharp. Unbelievably sharp. Real that pilot Polish, Russian sent, was a certain, Polish especially, was very pilpulic, very. You know, and he was able to mow everyone else down. He was the top guy in the yeshiva. So once he became very ill, and the Rosh Hashanah night, it looked like it was all over. They summoned the Chevre Kaddish. And at one point, he started to sweat, which was always a good sign, and he got up, and he couldn't talk yet. But afterwards, he said that to them, he had a dream, and in his dream, they were standing before the Bezen Shalmaila, and they were judging whether he should come back to this world or not. He writes the story himself. And then he says, at one point, they said, "No, you're staying here." And a Malach came along and said, "All the Limud HaTorah nights, Yigias HaTorah, that should, you know, that has to chase everyone away." Like the Kedushas Levi said about the Vilna Goyen, that he's going to be misatav himself in his Torah Lishma, and the Alachim Esrafim will run away from him, Dalad Meis Parsel, Dalad Meis Parsel. So he said, he started to learn, they said, "That's it, you got free, you got easy pass, you're in here, you're easy pass, you're here." And all of a sudden along came a Malach, and the Malach said, "But he's learning the Torah to show off, he's learning the Torah, so he's the best guy in the Yeshiva, he's learning the Torah, here he has a good Shidduch, what this Torah, I'll blow this Torah away, it has no real weight to it." And he said, along came a Yid with a white beard. There's an Inyan, that there's a Bezin of Tzadikim down here. And he said to the Malach, he said, "You Malach, you are." He says, "You know how hard it is to learn in this world? Who are you? You have a Yetzahara, Klum Yetzahara, what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Malachim, Klum Yetzahara, Yesh Ben Echa." He said, "You had an assignment of putting a filter on your computer? You had an assignment of stopping after the third hamburger? You know what I mean? What do you know? What do you know from Titus? What? You know what it means to walk on the street? You know what it means to sit out of it? You know where you can go and what you can do and how low you can fall and you come into a besmesh and open up a Vlad Gemara? In this day and age, you're going to start judging what kind of a Torah it is? So he says, they told him, that's it, you're going back down. So he said he's still very young. He's like 17 or 18. And he said he's traveling around looking for this person. He comes to the besmesh for a bicycle of Zivit Shaiv and he sees his face and he faints. Because he knew that was the face that he saw in Shemayim. So he went over to him, so Rabbi Isaac told him, he said, young man, one day you're going to be a big paisik in Klal Yisrael. He said, make things easy for Jews, don't make it too tough. As we know, the Masham was considered one of the big makilim. And he worked on taking where he is. But let's get back to the inyan of the Lechem upon him. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu miss the Lechem upon him more so than anything else? Pasuk says in this week's Sedra, V'nasata la marocha, l'voina zaka, v'hoysa l'lechem l'askara. So the Rebbeinu B'chai points out that no part of the lechem upon him you actually makrib as a carbon, with the exception of the l'voina that was put on it. And the l'voina represents a sense of purity. The ima'os, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, are represented by the l'voina. That's why the saita did not have a l'voina on her mincha. Mincha's chaita does not have it. And the Rebbeinu B'chai explains, you can look it up in this week's Sedra, he says that the lechem upon him was the conduit of parnasa. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent parnasa through the lechem upon him. That was like the receptacle or the antenna, so to speak, to receive the parnasa. And the levoina was the modem. Doesn't use those words, but more or less that's what the Rebbeinu B'chai is saying. The levoina that they were makir in Shemayim, that connected the hashpas in Shemayim to the lechem upon him, and that's why there was a tremendous emphasis that the shulchan should never be empty, because at that moment what would be mashpia the parnasa for Klal Yisrael, and that's the remez in the inyan. It says when you bench, it's brought down in halacha, there should be some bread on the table. You shouldn't bench on an empty table. That's from the lechem upon him, because when, as you're benching, you're also connecting to Shemayim to be mamshuch parnasa. There should be something that the bread serves as a conduit. It doesn't have to be full of adrab. It says Shulchan Aruch says it shouldn't be a full loaf, because then it was like it was an avodah zarah. They used to bench the loaf of bread. Mishmur brings it shouldn't be a full loaf. Except on Shabbos says it could be a full loaf, but there should be some bread left on the table.
Crumbs count.
Yeah, I think it says if it's a kazayif, you can put together kazayis. But that you shouldn't bench on an empty thing. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says when he came to America the first time and he was collecting money for his kollel. And he went into the Satmar Rebbe for a bracha. And, you know, here's a Litvak, she's a Litvak. And he went in, he didn't know what's going to happen. And he started telling the Satmar Rebbe, he was in Siberia. And the Rebbe said, yeah, I know all about you. So he said, I came to the Rebbe for a bracha. So the Rebbe took out $2,000 and he gave it to him. Those years, $2,000 was still money. So he said to him, I got you a bungalow over the summer. Today it gets you a weekend, you know, in the basement with leaky pipes or something. But those days, $2,000 was money. So he gave him $2,000. He said, Rebbe, I just came for a bracha. So the Rebbe told him, it says you're not supposed to give a bracha on an empty table. You're not supposed to bench on an empty table. So he came for a bracha, but this is what I'll give you. So that's what the Rebbeinu B'chai says. That somehow the Levoin is like the modem, and the Yud Beis Chala is a mamshach the bracha. And he goes on to explain weiter, the Rebbeinu B'chai, that the Yud Beis Chala correspond to, there's 12 malachim around the Kisei HaKavod, three on every side, and that corresponds to the Degolim in the Midbar. The way that the Degolim and Klal Yisrael were situated around the Mishkan, that's how malachim are situated around the Kisei HaKavod, and that's the Hashpa, he says around Shloima Melech's Kisei, there was also Yudbei's lions, and that's the inyan of how it's Mamshech, how Parnasa, that's how the system works, that so how do we do it today? Where's the lechem upon him today? So the Svarim bring already. That's the hamoitzi that we make on by Shabbos Suda. We're mamshach the inyan of the lechem upon him. By Rebbe's Taka, there was the inyan of Yud Beis Chalas. We don't necessarily do that. But there's still an inyan of the lechem upon him, the Arizal says, and especially if a person has archim by his Shabbos table, and if a person is moisa nefesh himself to sit the simcha by his Shabbos table and be mashpia simcha to others, that becomes the in lieu of the lechem upon him, which is mamshach the parnasa for Klal Yisrael, but fat if he benches afterwards. So at the end of this week's parsha, there's a story.
Could the let they have just Shabbos party? So bachachon.
You know something? Yeah, it's good. If you're not in the mood of a Shabbos party, and you say it's Shabbos, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to eat those corn chips. Yeah, 100%. then it's mamshel parnasa. But then, of course, the guy that's looking forward to the corn chips all week, I don't know, it works like it. And Mashgiach, he says, there are people that have a Shabbos dik a kugel, and there are those that have a kugel dik a Shabbos. You know, you understand yourself. I said in Slonim, used to say, with kugel on Shabbos, you can go climb all these shiva ilamas. With kugel on Shabbos, you can be a misakan tshuva for 10,000 dollars. With kugel on Shabbos, you can be erase all the worst chataim. He says, but you have to be careful not to fall into the kugel. They said, the Arizal says that on Shabbos, you're supposed to enjoy the food. He says, the Arizal says you can't be nizgashim. You can't become physical from the, because the kedusha of the Shabbos mechalim is so great that even if you eat the Shabbos tikkun mechalim, you don't get nizgashim from it. But the Katzke said, if you really try, you could, he said. If you really can. Okay, so at the end of Parshas Emor, what do we have? We have this person. Well, it's late. Okay, long hakdama here. At the end of Parshas Emor, so we have this person that was a Mekalel, right? He cursed himself, and they waited to see what to do with him, and then they gave him Misa for that. So what was his problem? What was he so upset about? What was his gripe over here? So there's two pshat, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. One says that he was making fun of the lechem upon him, because they took the first six breads from last week, and then they replaced it with the new six breads the next week. So he said, six breads from last week, is that the derech of a melech to eat cold bread that's 9 days old? Because it was baked on Friday and you couldn't use it left the next Shabbos. So that's one pshat. And the other pshat in the Gemara is that what? That who was this person? He was son of the Shalamis, he was the son of the Mitzri and Shalamis, Bas Divri. And the Moshe Rabbeinu then was the one, he was the Mitzri that killed his father, and that he wanted to set up camp near Sheva Dan, and he had it interred by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, L'mate Vesa Vaisam, and you can't set up camp over here. So he came out and he was angry. So really, what is the connection between the two? So I went to the Mar de Ka'inyan based on this Rebbeinu B'chayin, a little bit based on the Svasemus. We'll see how much we can get into it. But sometimes a person sits down to a Shabbos table and the bread is cold. You know, it's tough. A person is worried about something or something is on his mind. It's tough. And you do your best and you say, if this is the bread that God gave me, you know, I'm going to go with it. And that is mamshach, that is really what's mamshach kedusha in a person. That creates a sense of tahara which is unparalleled by anything else, because no malach could understand it. No malach can understand if a guy's worried about a biopsy thing, or he's worried about an audit, or he's worried, he was told Friday they lost his job, you know, or he got the foreclosure notice and he hid it someplace and says, let Shabbos be Shabbos, I'm going to be happy. You know, and he comes down to the Shabbos table and he sits there with the Suda and he smiles, even though he doesn't taste the warm food. And he says, now it's Shabbos, I'll forget about it. That's Malchul Ol Yeravers. He says, there's no Malach in the world that could challenge that, because Hashem says that a Malach, we discussed this earlier from the Yerachayim, because what do you know? You never had such Nisyanis. You never had such a test. You will never know. You'll never know what it's all about. And really, that was the Inyan of the Levina. The Levina represents the Ketairis. The Ketairis was above death. The Ketairis was... It says that the one chush that wasn't mentioned by the Chet Eitz Hadas is the chush HaReach. That's why the Gemara says, as the Bnei Yisrael Menayim Shemavarchen Al HaReach, Shenema Kol Neshama Mitahalka. Why doesn't the Gemara ask about everything else? How do you know you make a brach on food? The Gemara learns from, right, Kan Koydin Bracha, Kan Leshama, or some lawyer, that you have to make a bracha. Because the Reach is more ruchnis. And he says, Tzadikim are particularly sensitive to the chush HaReach. Esther was Hadassah. Hadassah is the Reach Beloitam. Hashem Bayichai came out of the cave and he saw the old man running with the two Hadassim. In other words, even though, where are you running? You're an old man. He says, you know, I'd have no taiva anymore. But the Chush HaReach I still have. I still believe that there's a world. I still want to make my family happy. I still want to make my Enoklach smile. And that's why Matzoi Shabbos, which is the time of death, sets in, because Adam Rishon was sent out of the Chet Eitz Hadas, and he has the courage to light the fire and say life is going to go on, and he creates the Inyan of Malava Malka, and the Inyan of Tchias HaMesim is reborn, and we smell Psalmim HaMatzah Shabbos. That's why the Ketores was Mechaper and Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is death, and the Ketores brought back life, and as we see, the Ketores was the antidote to Magefa, and so on. So basically, the Levoina suggests this Inyan. The Levoina is the Koyach of Simcha, that's brought into a situation which isn't always as geschmack. And if you add the levoina to the lechem, and sometimes in our lives we'll sit down to a Shabbos Suda, we should be happy, naturally happy, and let that simcha play itself out. Of course, it has to play itself out in the right way. And sometimes we sit down to a Shabbos Suda and we're not so happy. And we force a smile on the outside. The chatzonis is ma'ir the panimius. And that's the cold lechem. And that's what this Mikalo didn't want to accept. He didn't want to accept that, you know, not always are we where we want to be. You want to be next to Sheva Dan. Guess what? The halach is you're not next to Sheva Dan. It's totally zeh bezeh. This that he didn't accept the cold lechem is totally that he doesn't want to accept who he is, where he is. He mentioned from Rav Melech Biderman, he said it a couple of times in different venues. He says, you want to eat something, right? You're nervous if it's kosher or not. You check it out. Has a great hashgacha. Oh, great, I know that Rav. He says, he's a Rav that knows what he's doing and a very reliable hashgacha. You eat it with, you're relaxed. He says, you're about to eat your heart out. Just think there's a hashgacha liyan. Nothing is hefker. You are where you're supposed to be. Nothing is by chance. You'll also, you won't eat your heart out. You'll also be relaxed. Let's take a look at the Sfas Emes inside. Zok the Sfas Emes, b'inyin, seder lechem aponim b'yoyim ha-shabbos. It says, b'yoyim ha-shabbos yarichenu b'ris oylam. Isa b'medrash tanchuma, it's brought down to the medrash tanchuma, b'chukoysay, mi b'shachak yarech. Who in Shemayim? Which malach can set up lechem aponim? She'ein hu al yoyinim yichoylen larech l'fnei Hashem, k'b'nei Yisrael l'mata. No one can do this. You come into a Shabbos with mixed emotions. There's an issue going on in your family. You're saying, there's not going to be a machloikus in my house. No malach has this nesayin. So which malach? Yidme l'shem b'vnei elim. Only heim b'nei Yisrael. D'chziv l'odam ma'archei leiv. U'lechem b'nei Yisrael ma'richen ha-seder l'mata. They set up the seder l'mata. And with that courage, kach ba ha-shefem and ha-shemayim, the shefem comes from Shemayim. U'be'emes k'shoye b'es ha-migdash kayim. So we discussed this often, that down here in this world, basically when a person is upset, he asks one of three questions. Why me? Right? Or you're sitting on an airplane and you see this guy coming on and he weighs 600 pounds and you're sitting in economy and he's sitting down in the middle seat and you're going, you know, why him, right? Why now? Why does this have to happen to me now? Right now, I was hoping for a breakthrough, and all of a sudden now I have to get bad news. You know, why here? Why does it have to happen here out of all places? But guess what? The here and the now and the whom is all one. We don't see it down here. We see it as three separate entities. We see it as potluck. But in Shemayim, it's all mamish one. When we get up there, we'll understand exactly why it had to be with whom, and why it had to be when, and why it had to be now. And that's Olam Shana Nefesh. Person, place, and thing, and by Kabbalah Satayr it says Vayala Shonai, there was an Oshan. In front, Oshan means a smoke screen. There's a smoke screen that makes us think that, you know, I have to get this flat tire in this neighborhood out of all places now at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and with look who's sitting now, my mother's in the car, oh no, you know what I mean? Like, but all of that is Vahashgacha. Whatever Agnes Nevis you had to go through at that point, that was a chelik of the Hashgacha at that given moment. Ubnei Yisrael, the Hechel, the Shabbos Kodesh, when you come into Shabbos and you say, listen, it doesn't make a difference what's going on in my life right now. I'm going to do my best to have Shabbos the way we should. Harichu kol Shabbos Seder Miyuchad. Now hear this, Vasemis is saying something else. There are a certain amount of Shabbosos in our lives. We'll only have Shabbos a certain amount of times. We have Shabbos as a child sitting with our parents. We have Shabbos as a bacher in yeshiva. And we have Shabbos, our wonderful Shabbos Esvadis, like you had last week. You're going to be together with the Rosh Yeshivas and so on. Shabbos is to remember. And there's a Shabbos Esvadis that when the first time you sit by your father-in-law, which is an experience on its own. And then there's the Shabbos Esvadis when you make Kiddush and you're holding a baby. And there's going to be a certain, you know, there's different Shabbos as it goes throughout your life. You always say there's a cycle of sukkah builders. You know, this week is also the Yom Tovim. I remember the first time I had my own sukkah. And I schlepped whatever it was, the sukkah company, and I schlepped my sukkah. My 8-year-old and my 7-year-old and 6-year-old are so proud. They're helping me put it up, and we're trying to connect it. And they say, we're helping Tati. Then as the years go on, and the kids are like now 16, 15, 14, and I'm still trying to schlep it up, they go, Tata, we'll do it, okay? You know. And then all of a sudden they get older, they go off to Eretz Yisrael, and they get married. And like, you know, could you please come help with the sukkah? And you know, wife says, can you please help Tati with the sukkah? He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't remember. He's putting it upside down again. Will you get over here? You know, and then they come and they help you do it. And then all of a sudden it's back again, you know, and he says, you know, your Einikluch start helping you. Because, hey, can we help you with the sukkah, you know? And the cycle continues to change. So there's a bunch of Shabbosos in your life. And every Shabbos is different. Every Shabbos, where you are and who you are and what your emotional challenges are that Shabbos, there's only one Shabbos. And if you do, and it's not in tandem, it's not, there's a cheshbon to every Shabbos. If you do your Shabbos right, it paves the way for the next Shabbos. And if you do that right, it paves the way for the next Shabbos. And there's a system of steps that are based on the Shabbos throughout your life. So, says the Sfas Emes in the second paragraph, ובנה ישראל בהיכל בשבת קודש הריחו כל שבת סדר מיוחד. כי כל שבת ושבת יש עליה חרס זו למעלה מזו. And he says that's the cheshbon of the lechem upon him. That's why there were 6 challis on last week and 6 new challis. Not only that sometimes the challis are cold and sometimes they're warm, but each Shabbos feeds into the next Shabbos. There was a Yid Rav Gadol Eisner. He was in Auschwitz. He was legendary. He got to schlep the people up. They sang, Kabbalah Shabbos in concentration camps. And once Shabbos afternoon, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, it was late afternoon, they all came back and they're collapsing. He says, hey guys, there's going to be, this war won't last forever. And they're looking at him, and he goes, now in Varsha, especially in the Ger Cheder, you would go for a walk after the chom, But you spudik the high straddle, you'd kick it off to the side, and you had your thumbs and your gartel, and you'd walk. He goes, guys, we're not going to remember how to do it. No, we got to practice. Everyone off the bed. Everyone off. They're all off the bunker. They have dead, beaten, tortured. Because we got to practice. They took take your spudik, the little concentration guy, move it to the side. They all move it to the side. Put your thumbs into your belt, around the striped uniform. They're all put it. And you got to walk. That's not the way you walk after the chomp. After the chomp, you walk. You gotta walk like this, you can hardly, your stomach precedes you, so to speak. And, and finally he has like 10 of them. They're all like walking, and they imagine what it looked like. And they're kind of, and then the capo walks in and goes like, what is going on over here? So I heard from a Yid who said in the 6 years, 4 years or whatever, that he was in Auschwitz, he said that that was the only time he laughed. The scene was just so fun. But he put it into their heads, you're going to risk your life for this Shabbos. It's going to go on to another Shabbos. 4 years, 5 years. I got to tell you a story. As once in the mikveh, Erev Shabbos, there's these two guys, old people, they're like rubbing their backs. Some people have big backs. They're going for like a half hour already. And they're talking about their war experience. And one of them says that he was in Mauthausen for 5 years. There's another old man, he goes, 5 years? Impossible 5 years. The Germans came in, 1940, 39, 38. The most you could have been there was 3.5 years. He goes, you're telling me how long I was there? Me, 4.5 years. No, can't be more than 3.5 years. I was there 4.5 years, And there's a third guy who, he gets up, a smart man. He goes, you can't give a Yid another year in a concentration camp, he says. He wants another year in the concentration camp. He wants a little more sympathy. He says, what's your problem? What are you getting so excited? If against the Shayir, a Yid Nachayar in the lager, he said, wherever you are. But Akhlepanam, so there's a Seder of Shabbosos in our lives. And you have to understand, when you pass the Nesoyin of one Shabbos, it sets the stage for the other Shabbos. And that's the Inyan of the Lechem Aponim. It's late, so I'll just tell you that in the next piece, he just discusses how that down here in this world, we all do different things. We all have different Shlichas. One person is the Torah, the Baal Torah, the other is the Baal Avodah, the other is the Baal Gimelas Chesed. Of course, we all have to do all three, but we specialize in different things. And then the nature, our natures are different. There's a chassid, there's a misnagah, there's this kind of chassid, there's that kind of misnagah, there's the, But lemaisa and shemayim, it's all one. It's we're all here to do the ruts and Hashem from a totally different perspective. And if we can just see the last piece over here, perhaps, the Chassam Sofer, who again echoes the same concept. Nesata ala mereches levoina zaka. Right? You put on the fire, the levoina zaka, v'hoysel alechem laskar, as we explained before, that the levoina is the only part that goes up to shemayim. But Salomer ki esek haTorah al haShulchan. Today, b'zman hazeh, where's our modem? Where's our modem to connect our challah to Shemayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mamshach the panasa through our challah? So he says, it says the Chassam Sofer, it's the esek haTorah al haShulchan, the limit haTorah on the Shulchan, the dvar Torah that you're saying, haynu levoina zaka. That's the levoina zaka. That's the askara lelechem sheochel al haShulchan. That's equivalent to the levoina that connects the lechem. What's going on in Shemayim? She nechshav leisha l'shem kekar mereich nechayach. And he also says the same thing that the Sfasem has said. V'amar b'yoyim haShabbos b'yoyim haShabbos yarichenu l'fnei Hashem tamid me'es b'nei Yisrael b'ris oylam ki ha'ma'aneg es haShabbos. Someone is not in the mood. Me'aneg. It doesn't say kol ha'mis'aneg. Mis'aneg means you're enjoying your corn chips. Me'aneg, when there's a mem at the beginning of the word and the mem is not part of the shayrish, it always means to project, right? Mishaleach means to send. Migarish, he divorces. Mikadish, makna is to sell. Malva is to lend. He me'anig means he forces. He's not in the mood of Einik Shabbos, but he forces the Einik Shabbos on himself. So the noisnim loy nachla b'lim etzarim. They give him an inheritance without any boundaries. The boundary says the Chassam Sofer for a Shabbos zoyche shiyakol yemei Yeshua kodesh etzlei b'li hefsek. The boundaries would be that what the Satan wants is to separate one Shabbos from the other. He doesn't want the succession of Shabbos that you build on the commissions and suddenly you're a Ruchniistic of Michael Gates. You know what I mean? Because you're building one Shabbos on top of the other. So when a person is Ma'anegas a Shabbos, they take down the walls. That means they take down the Mechitza between one Shabbos and the other Shabbos. The Zen, that says the Chsam Sofer means Belima Tzarim. That there shouldn't be a Hefzik in the Kedusha of Shabbos as it moves through. As it comes through, the Babav Rav used to say over a story from his grandfather, Shloimeh of Babav, that he was together with his father, Rav Benzion of Babav, and they were supposed to go to a doctor in Vienna, and there was a terrible storm, and they got caught up in a hotel, and they were there for Shabbos, and nobody was there. No one. And all they had was an old dry piece of bread. And he said, "Look, it's between us and God, this Shabbos. You know, no chassidim to watch us." And they risked their lives to get to a mikveh someplace, and they came down, and they sang Kedusha Shabbos as if nothing else in the world existed. They just kept going, they kept going, they kept... And they said later that they never had such a time in Shabbos like any other Shabbos in their lives. It's the moment that you break through, it builds one Shabbos after the other. So I heard this story from a Yid, that the Shlomo Bava, the last Baba Virav, came to America, came Mutzel Miyesh, he lost virtually his whole family, with the exception of one son, and, you know, everything is gone. And he tried to rebuild. Rebuild with whom? America was a wasteland, and he started on the west side, and he didn't have a minyan, right? Didn't have a minyan. Can you imagine? Thousands of chassidim, and doesn't have a minyan at this point. And they're trying to call in a minyan, and the guy's walking down the street, he has the hats, you know, the he used to wear in the late 40s, those big wide, like the Maflecta, you know, the Al Capone hats, and, you know, he's puffing a cigar, and he's holding a cigarette, and he's walking down the street. And the Rav looks at him and says, "He's Jewish. The man's Jewish. He's Jewish, I'm telling you." I always say you see the Yeridus Hadayrus from the presidents because I think Jefferson took off his shaitel. You know what I mean? The previous had a shaitel, and then it was Jackson took off his white socks. You know? That's why I think he was be knocked off the $20 bill. And you see it. It comes back to you after a while. Kennedy took off his hat. You see how they became less Hasidish as the time goes. Anyway, but... So much for your civics lesson. Anyway, the Baba Rav says to him, "You know, you look Jewish. Maybe you want to come into Daven Friday night." And he goes, "Never, never, after what God did to me, never, never, I'll never daven again." He's Jewish, you know. He says to him, "You know, me and my father, we were the greatest chazanim in our town, and everyone came to hear us. And now look what I am. My whole family was killed. And I was not coming in. I'll never daven again for the rest of my life." So the Baba Rav heard one thing: once a chazan, always a chazan. He says, "You want the amid?" I guess the omelet. Oh, I don't know. He says, "You sure? Yeah, come on in." So the other people are saying, "What are you doing? He just was mechara from a god of him." "No, don't judge him." Okay, I know what he went through. Anyway, the guy davens for the omelet. He went over to him. "Shh, unbelievable, Meyerdick." And the guy, you know, walks out, takes his newspaper and his umbrella, and he's back there. He says, the next week he shows up again. He gives him the omelet again. He says, "I can't believe you're doing this." And at one point, he's not around anymore. Can't find him. So he sends his son, Rav Naftoliu, the next rug, "Go find him." He says, "Where should I find him?" He says, "He lives on the other side of the park." So he's walking through Central Park and he sees this guy sitting on a bench smoking a cigar, Shabbos afternoon. Which, as you know, is a pretty serious Isser Dreiser, right? Even the Erev doesn't help with that. And he goes, "Oh, it's Shabbos!" He just looks at him and keeps smoking. So he comes back and he tells his father, "This is like impossible, you know?" He's smoking. The Rav says, "I don't believe it." He says, "We saw him smoking. Shal Lush and Hard, there's two of us. We're atheists." Nice. He wasn't smoking. We saw him smoking. I mean, I guess the son didn't contradict the father, but the other two said it. So the Rav said, "Er reichet nicht, the Deutsch reichet. He's not smoking. The Germans are smoking." They don't know what he went through. Anyway, he shows up the next Friday night. The Rav gives him the Amr again. "Could you? He's Michal Shab." Yeah, he wasn't Michal. The Germans were smoking, not him. Anyway, then he disappears. You don't see him. Fast forward some 45 years later, the Rav is in his Beis Medrash, and this guy shows up, and he can't even get through the inner circle. You know, his secret service is standing around the Rav. He finally pushes himself through. He goes, "The Rav remembers me." He says, "No, honestly, no. Who are you?" He says, "Remember, I used to daven. I came Friday night. You invited me to daven the west side a few days." He says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm marrying off my last child." He says, "Can you come to the weddings?" The Rav says, "I don't go to weddings anymore." He says, "I'll come to the Sheva Brachas." He calls up, the Rav called up those few people that were there, that west side, they're with him, like in the minyan. He said, "I want to go to the Sheva Brachas. I need someone to come with me. You need some, you have 1,000 chassidim will come with you at the whip of a hand. No, come with me." And they went with him, and they walk into the Sheva Brachas, and there's like 70 or 80 grandchildren. They're all cuddling alike. They're all sitting and learning around them. And the Rav leans over and he says to them, "You see, I told you he wasn't smoking. You see, it was the Germans that were smoking." But the Indian of the Lechem Apanim is, even though it's cold, one Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. You hustle through. You hustle through. As long as you make it, that it connects you to the next Shabbos, then the sky's the limit to where, what a person can be zechut.